Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Stu and Blake.
Hello and welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. I'm Stu Whiffin. Blake Harrison is alongside me always. How are you, sir?
Very good, mate. Very good. How are you?
Not bad. Not bad. So this is a slightly rearranged episode, isn't it?
Yes. So we were expecting to have a chat with someone. We'll name no names. I mean, it'll be very obvious who it is if the episode with them comes out immediately. But it's a very good friend of our show. We love this person a lot. Oh my God, I've just had something go off in my ear telling me the battery is about 70% in my headphones. No idea why. I'm sure no one else has heard that. And that was incredibly boring and no one needed to know.
But what anyway, it happened. Start to an episode.
Woo! So you were supposed to be getting a chat with a well-loved fighter. Instead, you've got me telling you I've got 70% battery.
Blake's battery issues. Hashtag, do it.
Hashtag Blake's battery. Right, so yeah, we were supposed to be talking to them. They might turn up. They're not on the gram at the moment. We've got messages with them previously. They might turn up, in which case this will be a really interesting episode. But we thought, you know what? Just in case they don't turn up, they may be very busy. You don't know what's going on in their lives. We're going to talk through a couple of random news bits that have happened recently. And maybe this will go out as a separate episode. Or as we said, if this person jumps in, then we'll be having a chat with them as well.
Absolutely.
But there's some news that's come out in the UFC of late, and we thought it'd be fun to talk about some of it.
Yeah.
I don't know where you want to start, Stu. Do you want me to surprise you?
Why not?
All right. Here's a surprise for you, mate. According to his social media, Conor McGregor has been asked if he wants to coach the new series of The Ultimate Fighter, which will be coming out. Whether that's true or not, you never know with Conor, to be honest. He's had his own issues recently, accusations, all alleged. Don't know what's actually going on, but a woman alleged that he, I think, struck her and on a yacht or a boat or something like that. And did she say she had to jump overboard to escape or
that's
something?
That's what I read.
Yes. So accusations, no idea whether that is
The guy got run over on Friday.
And then he got run over, apparently, by a car. Yeah, he's been busy, hasn't he, Conor?
Yeah. And then got a lift home from the guy.
Right, yeah. And then, and now apparently he's been asked to coach Tough. So whether it's true or not that he's been asked to coach Tough, we're unsure. Obviously, with regards to the accusations on the yacht, it's very hard for us to comment because you've got the accusations. He has vehemently denied it. Who knows what's really gone on there? And we'll have to just wait and see. There's no video evidence that I've seen, unlike when we've spoken about the Dana White issue and stuff like that. So he's, yet again, his name is being kind of dragged through the mud, whether that's something of his own doing or whether that is something that isn't of his own doing. We don't know.
He's a superstar, so there's always going to be smoke around him, and it's, you know, some of it's not going to be real, some of it is, and you just have to wait and see what the legalities of it are. I just want to touch on a comment. Somebody did comment on the running over of him. So for those that don't know, Conor was out on his push bike and got knocked off his bike because the sun was either in Conor's eyes or the driver's eyes.
I think it was in the driver's eyes, apparently.
Yeah, and didn't see didn't see Conor and knocked him off his bike. To which there's a bizarre sort of exchange of where this guy is obviously like beside himself and apologising, and Conor's filming this.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, and Conor's going, oh, that's okay, don't worry about it, man, don't worry about it. And then the guy's like, do you want me to carry your, like, throw your bike in the car and drop you home? And he's like, yeah, yeah, please. And then they're filming in the car, and he's just sort of saying to this driver, like, you know, oh, don't worry about it, we're all good. And the first comment that I read was someone said, someone runs you over and you wish them all the best and give them all the love and respect. And then somebody disses your whiskey and you punch their face in. Connor pinned it as a tweet.
He pinned it?
Yeah.
Gee, I don't even know how to comment on that.
That's the level of madness and hysteria around that guy. And, yeah, you know, with anyone that is that famous, there's always going to be madness around you, good and bad. In regards to him,
I find it strange that you've just got your phone out and started filming. Like, is that just when you get to a stage where your social media is like reaching ridiculous levels of popularity and you can make money off all sorts and everything is content and all that stuff? Do you just get your phone out whenever anything happens to you? Because I'll tell you what, if I got run over, I wouldn't be getting my phone out unless someone was like, I don't know, behaving in an inappropriate way or something, and I felt like I needed it for evidence in court later on.
I mean, there's always
like that.
That, isn't
Why
there?
Would you get? And then, so, because I haven't seen this video, so he talks to the guy, then the guy's really nice about it and gives him a lift home. And while they're in the car, he's still filming the guy.
Yeah, but and it's then just asks the two him of them. His name, and the guy gives his full name. And I was just thinking, oh, dude, I don't know if he knew who Connor was. Like,
be hard not to nowadays.
I imagine so. Like in Ireland.
Where is this? Is this in America or Ireland?
No, in Ireland. And
they're gonna know who Connor is.
You'd imagine so, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But I guess if you've just run someone over and they're quite happily filming a nice conversation with you, you're probably just gonna go, oh, do you know what? I'll deal with this. Like, I'll have that conversation because I have just run this guy over. And in theory, I guess you could have got in a bit of trouble for it. But
But Connor's filming him, right?
Yeah.
That just seems so strange to me.
But then it's not like Connor he's going to be relying on Instagram revenue to pay the mortgage.
That's true. Yeah,
he's not like a an influencer that's their job. That just so happens that he's got a ridiculous Instagram following as a byproduct of his job. Very, very odd, but like you say, the whole Conor McGregor thing is odd and mad and bananas, and it always, that's why we're talking about him. You know, he hasn't fought for years, but we're still talking about him, and they want him to coach tough.
The thing. If he coaches tough, because I watch Tough, the Ultimate Fighter, more than you.
Yeah.
I didn't watch the last series, if I'm honest, but I watch it more than you do. Would you be inclined to watch it if Connor was coaching?
I'd be lying if I said no. I watched every episode of Tough up until, oh God, I don't know, maybe 3 years ago. And then I just thought it lost its way a little bit. And, when you look back, I mean, don't get me wrong, that Connor and Uriah season was absolutely fantastic. You know, it's got the whole he's a snake, and it's got the whole Andre Philly thing and Cody, and it was super fun. I can't even remember the seasons after that, but I used to love it, absolutely love it. But then I think for me, I loved it so much because you was probably getting a UFC maybe once a month, maybe two a month, whereas now they're so frequent I feel like I'm getting my hit and we do this and you know, so there's I don't feel like I'm chomping at a bit for any little bit of UFC. So I don't know. I mean, if Connor coached it, I mean, that's I'll be interested to know how many people watch that now, if it's as big as it was. Because if you can get Conor back, then that show's huge. Huge. But, okay, so let's say we're both on board for it. We're both going to watch it. I presume you'd watch it if Conor was on, yeah?
I would be, like, I think anyone of, you know, even minor interest to me as coaches, I'd probably watch it or at least give it the first couple of episodes.
Sure.
But it is a slightly tired format. Like, it's been the same format, that show, for such a long time now.
Yeah.
But if Conor was on, yes, I would be more inclined to watch it. But I suppose that leads me to a second part of the question, which is, if Conor's on it, who's coaching against him? And who would you like to see coaching against him? I suppose the obvious choices would be Tony Ferguson.
Yeah.
Michael Chandler. Mm. Maybe Jorge Masvidal.
He's busy.
And I know he's busy, and we'll get onto that in a minute, but I mean, that's coming up quite quick. It could happen after, I don't know, but you're probably right. He probably is too busy. And then the slight curveball, if you wanted to go down this road, is a Paddy Pimblett.
No, I knew he was going to go there.
Yeah. So if they're the potential options for Conor as his opposing coaches,
yeah.
Noting that in this world, in this kind of slightly fictitious world where we don't know whether this is happening or not, it's not only the series of The Ultimate Fighter you've got to consider, and the hopeful, the entertainment and the banter that you'll get between the coaches, but also the fact that they've got to fight afterwards.
Yeah.
Who do you want to fight, to fight, but also to be against Conor as a coach on The Ultimate Fighter if it happened?
Right. I'll go through them. So Tony Ferguson to start, right? That, to me, makes the most sense because, I think you'd probably get a pretty balanced fight at the end of it, because we've not seen anything from Conor for a long time. And what we have seen in you know, the last fights, he wasn't looking like a world beater. And you can say the same for Tony Ferguson. Both legends of the sport, both fucking crazy men. And so I think you get great TV if you put them two against each other.
I completely agree.
I mentioned Conor McGregor's, I mentioned the word odd, and I don't even think Conor's odd. He's bananas. Tony Ferguson's odd. Like, he's unorthodox, strange, and I think them two together in the Ultimate Fighter space would be really good television.
I think it would be mad.
Yeah. Michael Chandler, I'm not that fast. Michael Chandler just seems like a pretty straight kind of guy. Like, I don't think he's super animated in interviews. I don't think he's a bit like Uriah. I think he'd be fun. I think he's a nice guy. And
I think he'd be more intense than that. I think he'd be fun. And I think he'd be, I think he's a really good character, Michael Chandler. I think a lot of people like him as well. Yeah. My big problem with that is I really don't want to see them fight.
Because I can't see.
I think, who knows how good Conor will be when he comes back, if he comes back. But I would like to. I know he's older now, and you haven't got a huge amount of time to like slow roll him. But I'd give him a bit like what they did when they got in Donald Cerrone to fight him, and then he was supposed to have that season that just didn't pan out because of COVID and all that stuff. I would go down that route. I wouldn't give him like a top five guy in Michael Chandler who's got knockout power and great wrestling and stuff like that. So that's where I'm at. I'm at with Chandler. But so how else do you see it if you had like a Masvidal or a Pimblett or anything?
You throw Street Jesus in there and you've got the biggest season of The Ultimate Fighter ever. I think if you've got Masvidal and Conor in there, like, that's crazy.
They would scrap, wouldn't they? Like, yeah, 100%. I can see Tony and Conor, it being odd, but like maybe respectful enough after. Yeah. Well, maybe not respectful. Respectful is probably not the right word. I think they'd be at each other, actually.
Yeah.
But I don't think it would come to blows.
No.
With Chandler, I think he's too nice. Yeah. I think he'd probably be quite nice to Conor, but also kind of banterful and funny.
Yeah.
But with Masvidal, I genuinely can see it. Just
God,
like
I don't give a fuck.
Every week they're just kicking off, which would be great TV. Yeah. But I don't think it's for the best, especially with Masvidal having legal issues with Colby already because of like assault and stuff. So
absolutely.
I don't see that going well.
I mean, that would be the dream. I think that would be like
Masvidal.
Like Masvidal Connor would be like that. I can't see it happening because obviously we're going to get on to what Jorge's doing and I can't see that factoring into the mix. It will be bananas and it will be two of the biggest names in the sport and it will be, I think, way bigger. More people obviously know who Street Jesus is than know who Tony Ferguson is. You know, he's a legend, Tony Ferguson, but Jorge Masvidal, the casuals know him, you know, because he's a dude and he's batshit. And that would be the dream. But, and the last one you mentioned was Paddy. I don't see that happening. I don't think Paddy's done enough in the UFC to warrant coaching.
I agree, but... God, it'd be fun, wouldn't it?
Of course it would, but I think they'd be respectful to each other. You know, I think Paddy, I don't want to speak on behalf of Paddy, but I'm sure Conor McGregor would have been a huge inspiration for him growing up in
I think
in
he said as much.
Arts. Yeah.
I think he definitely has been. Yeah. I just think that's actually a really cracking fight for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because I think
it's
a lot of people...
It's a changing of the guard, isn't it?
Potentially though, but potentially not. I mean, look, Conor has showed that in his prime, he's a two-weight world champion and one of the best. Like, he's really shown that. Paddy is yet to show that. He's fought guys that he's done well against, even though he's still got clipped, but he's done well against. And then, in his last fight with Jared Gordon, there's a lot of people out there that scored that
split
for Gordon.
Split opinion, didn't it?
Yeah, it's, you know, it was not a convincing win, and Gordon is by no means a top 15 guy. So if you get Paddy and Connor in there, I think you could definitely make an argument that Paddy's going to win this and take all that shine and become a superstar and all that stuff, blah, blah, blah. But I think there's equally an argument for going, Paddy's not shown that he's at the level that Connor's been at. Connor could win this, and then he's got a win back at 155, and then all bets are off. Connor only needs one win, and he could literally do anything. Again, it's not a meritocracy. It is a business. He's still the biggest name in the sport. He still draws the biggest pay-per-view numbers. If Connor gets one win, I would not be surprised if the UFC put him in a title shot, because that's just business. It's not a meritocracy. We've said it a million times on this show. Beneil Dariush, in my opinion, should be fighting for the belt, but he goes on the mic and says he'll fight 10 guys and all this stuff, and he's just not going to draw numbers. If you book Beneil Dariush versus Islam Makhachev or whoever else, it's do fine, but it's not going to do great numbers. You book Conor McGregor against a broomstick, it'll probably quadruple those numbers. So that's just business. It's not a meritocracy. It's just business. But... yeah, I would like to see Tony Ferguson, because I think that's the best fight for Conor on the way back. Because if Conor loses that, Tony's on like a 5-fight skid or something like that now. Granted, it's all against top guys, but still, if Conor loses to Ferguson, it's done. If Conor wins, then again, he could fight anyone after that point. He could go and it would not surprise me if they went, oh, Conor's just beat Tony Ferguson. Maybe because Conor's looking so big, they even do it at welterweight, so he's not got to cut weight. And even one win even at welterweight, the UFC could make him fight. I'd say to him, you can fight for a belt at 155. Or if Leon beats Usman, he might go, well, Leon's more of a striker. I know he can grapple really well. Maybe I'll take on Leon. UK versus Ireland, huge fight. Leon's not going to say no. It's going to be a huge payday for him. So he could go up and go, well, I've not got long left. I want to chase history. I think he'd be the first ever 3-weight world champion if he were to win that. I mean, I think the betting favourite by a country mile would be Leon Edwards. But these things could happen. And again, I'm sure Leon would love to beat Usman and then fight Conor in a title defence. He'd make so much money.
Absolutely. And if Tony fights him, it's a wonderful... and loses, then I guess that's a lovely little retirement fund, isn't it?
100%. I think Tony's one of those guys that we all loved him. He was on that amazing 12 fight or something, win streak. The fight with Khabib never materialized, and we were all desperate for it. And it was like three or four times that that thing was just like cursed, didn't happen. And Tony now, he's on this horrible skid, and he's not looking the same. It'd be lovely to see him get a big payday on his way out. So, you know, you also wonder with some of the other stuff that's gone on in his personal life.
Yep.
Has the beatings he's taken had an effect on him and all that? And, you know, you want to make sure that he gets the right healthcare, all that stuff. And saying goodbye to Tony when he's on the biggest payday of his career, I'd feel good about that. I'd like to see Tony sail off with a big bag of money.
Well, we spoke a lot about people in maybe like the sort of entering into the twilight years of their career. Let's talk about people that are literally on fire, and there is going to be some serious fire at UFC 287. We've had some big announcements since we last recorded, none more so than the rematch between Pereira and Izzy. I mean, that's good news, right?
Yes, I believe it's booked for early April, UFC 287. I think it's in Miami. I'm not 100% sure about that, but I think it's in Miami. Adesanya Pereira. I kind of thought maybe Izzy would want a bit more time, because I kind of thought he'd maybe work on his grappling a bit more, try and implement that kind of game plan. It's a trick. Yeah, I don't know. I kind of expected more time. I mean, what does he do if he loses?
No idea. I mean, when you go back to our predictions for the year, I think I said I don't see Izzy getting that fight. I think he's going to take some time. I think he mentioned injury after the fight.
Well, you went fucking mental, didn't you? You started saying Robert Whittaker's going to beat Pereira, and then they're going to do Adesanya Whittaker, and Whittaker's finally going to beat Adesanya.
Whittaker's finishing the year champ.
Fucking hell. Well, to be fair, I mean, there's definitely more chance. I thought Pereira would maybe only defend the title once this year. I thought he'd probably make Adesanya in June, July. Mm-hmm. And so I was thinking I'd lean Pereira in that rematch. I mean, I still think Adesanya can do it. And part of me would like to see him do it. But I just think the size, man, he's so fucking big. Pereira's an absolute monster. But because the fight is taking place in April, it makes me think there certainly could be another title defense before the end of the year. I just don't think Pereira's got long for the middleweight division. I saw him looking at Jamal Hill, who we'll get onto in a minute as well. And I think that he fancies moving up in weight. And I don't blame him. That cut must be terrible.
But if he goes up, does he instantly get the title shot? Or does he have to fight an Ankalaev or somebody that would be problematic to him?
If you're the champ, I pretty much think you'll always fight for the belt straight away, just because it looks good on the posters, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course.
Two guys with belts over their shoulders. It builds the card up more. It makes it more of an event. I think it's just so mad that like a year and a bit ago, we didn't even know who Alex Pereira was. Someone would have said Alex Pereira, and we'd have been who? The what now? What, just signed for the UFC, fought some guy that's unranked that, you know, he'd be like, who cares? And then like a year later, he's the frigging champ. It's madness.
And you've got to wonder, like, where is his head at? Because he must be thinking, this guy's my fucking kryptonite. I can't fucking beat him. I watched the fight again last week, and he's doing really well. And it's just...
he's winning the fight.
Yeah.
Until the last round, he's winning it.
And, I mean, you know, we see a lot of that last year. And oh, my God, and you just think he must have just got back in that dressing room and just thought, fuck, like, I can't beat him.
Yeah.
Like, and you just wonder, like, how that kind of thing takes its toll on you mentally when, what's that third loss to him? You know, I know not in the octagon, but in combat sports, and fucking hell, he must just think, what have I got to do? Because I put it on him.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And, you know, and was looking great. And am I right in saying he didn't drop him, but he wobbled him, didn't he, in the what?
At the end of the first round.
Right at the end of the first round.
Right at the first round. He had him on skates.
Right at the end. And if that weren't the end of the round, he would have finished that fight.
Yeah. But the same goes in their second kickboxing match. In like round two in their second kickboxing match. He had him wobbled. The ref gave him a standing eight count. Yeah. Adesanya's there like ready to go. And then all of a sudden, just in the third round, that huge left hook came in.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. It's just because one thing I would say is that for his mentality, surely it's like you can just latch onto the fact that like, hey, if there was a few more seconds left in that first round in the MMA fight, you'd have beat him. Yeah. In the kickboxing fight, you'd have beat him if there was, you know, a bit more time left or the ref didn't give him a standing eight count or any of those things. That he's got the ability to hurt Pereira, 100%. But it's just Pereira's got more ability, I think.
Is that kind of mindset overridden by... It just takes one shot from this guy and he's going to hurt me. Because the whole fight, as much as Izzy was looking great, every time Pereira caught him, it was like, oh, fucking hell, that geezer hits like a fucking truck.
It was so nerve-wracking. It'd be so interesting watching this second fight because it was just so nerve-wracking. Adesanya would do well and move and escape, but then do well and then move and escape. But the whole fight... Even though you knew Adesanya was winning the whole fight, any time Adesanya's back foot hit the cage, you're like, oh no, he's got you cornered.
Yeah.
He's just so big and powerful. You're just like, this could be game over at any point. He could land that one strike. And I just think power is just such... It's like a superpower. It's like he's got that ability to just knock you out and he can do it. He's got obviously great technique, but that power, I think Adesanya is probably technically a much better striker.
Oh yeah, 100%.
But that's not to say that Pereira is very technical. He's probably the second best striker in the middleweight division. Well, he is. He must be. But I'm not trying to take away anything from Pereira. But it just that what I'm saying is if Adesanya is there and Pereira is there, then that power just boosts him up to a level just maybe slightly above Adesanya because Adesanya's got to clip him really perfectly, whereas Pereira's maybe just got to get one or two little glancing shots or something like that, and it's just game over. I mean, The other fight on that card, though, the co-main event, we see the return of Jorge Masvidal against Gilbert Burns. What do you think? I'm really glad Gilbert's in there quick after his fight with Neil Magny because he didn't take any punishment. This is exactly what he should be doing. And he's been calling for a big fight like against Masvidal for a while.
Yeah.
I'm not looking at the rankings at the moment, but I'm assuming that Masvidal's quite ranked a fair amount behind Gilbert Burns. How do you feel about that fight? What's your impression of it? Are you excited about it?
I think it's a comfortable win for Gilbert. I think Gilbert's just a better all-round fighter. I think I'd much rather see Jorge in more kind of classic fights or whatever you want to call it. You know, your kind of super fights with your people that aren't necessarily going to win belts, But, yep. you know, like we've mentioned, Connor and you know, all of those people that are on the sort of fringes of it that are superstars but are probably just not going to get that strap. I think there's more interesting fights out there for Masvidal. I think, you know, Gilbert's trying to still sort of put himself in the mix for that strap. It's a big payday for Gilbert, I'm sure. Probably maybe the best payday of his career, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know if I agree with that because I don't, because he's not a champion, so he's not going to be getting pay-per-view points. So true. I think it's probably, hey, Gilbert, you're on, I don't know, $100,000 show, $100,000 yeah. win or something like that. I don't know. Do you want to fight Masvidal? And he'll just go, yes, please. Masvidal, yeah. on the other hand, is probably someone with that star power that can go, I'll do it if I get a percentage of this, or I'll do it if you give me a new contract with a better deal, yeah. or stuff like that potentially could happen with Masvidal. I reckon Masvidal's on stupid money, really, given yeah. that he's not going to win a belt and all that kind of stuff. So,
and I he's not going to beat Gilbert Burns. Like,
I can't see it. No,
I don't know what he's got to do to beat Gilbert Burns. You know, them highlights of your Darren Tills and your Ben Askrens, they're a long time ago now, and I think Gilbert Burns is in good shape at the moment,
and I think he's got that skill set that Masvidal will struggle with.
Yeah,
great jiu-jitsu, can take you down as well, you know. Yeah. Like, you've got a lot of these jiu-jitsu guys we've mentioned before that just don't do very well on the takedowns. Is he a Kamaru Usman or a Colby Covington when it comes to takedowns? No, but we saw what he did to Wonderboy.
Yeah.
And I can see Masvidal struggling to keep this on the feet. Gilbert, if he's smart, is just going to take it to the ground. But Gilbert can throw hands as well. I don't think he's technically as good as Masvidal, but I think he can really match him in the power, if not maybe even surpass him. I don't know. So, yeah, I would say Gilbert, for me, is the shoo-in for this fight.
It's a fun fight. Jorge always brings the attention and the excitement just because he's bananas. And
if it is in Miami, he'll have that home crowd backing him as well. And that'll be really fun for him. Maybe it'll be one of his last fights if he's fighting in Miami. I know that he's doing well. He's got like loads of other fight promotions or something that he does. He does his own, can't remember what it's called now, Icon Fight Promotion? Maybe I'm wrong. But he's got his own fight promotion. He does his other thing. He's got his like tequila or something. Like, he does all right, Masvidal. I think he's doing all right. So maybe he doesn't need to fight quite so much.
Another fight that has been added to that. He's one of Gilbert's training partners and two-time former guest of the show, Ian Garry. Announced that Ian Garry's on that card. I did see a little Instagram post. At first, there was no opponent announcement, but I see a post from Ian Garry. It looked like he was getting a tattoo done at the time, saying that they have given him his opponent. He didn't know who he was. I think it might be his UFC debut. Don't quote me on that.
Right.
But said he'd had 16 wins or something like that in another organization in mixed martial arts. But be great to see Ian Garry back in the octagon. I think he for some reason he's got a bit of star quality about him, Ian Garry, make no mistake. But I think it's really interesting seeing him, like, you know, coming through from Cage Warriors the same way that Paddy has. You know, Paddy's trajectory has been stupid, and he's become like so famous so quickly, and, you know, fighting in, you know, on these UK cards, and I think it's very interesting how Ian Garry's took a very different approach. He's gone out to America, he's training in America, living in America, and has kind of been fighting on the American cards. I mean, I think it would have been great to have seen him in London in March, but that's not on the agenda. And so I'm just very interested to see what they're doing with Ian Garry, because his striking, I think the precision in his striking is phenomenal. And he's got undoubtedly like big star quality, but I think when you've got two guys from the UK, from Great Britain, coming through, it just seems that all eyes are on Paddy at the moment, and it's, you know, I don't want that to take anything away from Ian Garry, because I think Ian Gary's got a big, big future ahead of him.
Yeah, I mean, they're taking very different approaches. Obviously, Ian Garry didn't have the performances that that Paddy had in terms of just like knocking everyone out and getting clipped in these crazy, exciting fights. But is Ian Garry got more of a long-term kind of game plan there in terms of, you know, don't get hit. If you just get wins. Just get wins and evolve. He's over at, is it AT? No, Sanford MMA, which has become something else, I think. And he's there training with the likes of Gilbert Burns, as you said, Michael Chandler every now and again. I think Usman was in one day doing some work with him and stuff. Like, he's there with the best of the best. Mate. I think Derek Brunson might be there. I mean, he's learning from it. So just get wins, mate. Just get wins. Take as little damage as possible. And creep your way up. If you really believe you can become the best, he's only in his like mid-20s. Like, is he 24, 25, something like that? I don't know. He's just had a baby as well. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a big change, big stuff going on in your life. So, yeah, for sure. Just I think the ceiling could be very high for Ian, but he's not been tested to a huge degree yet. And I think I don't know who this new guy is. And with guys coming in to make their UFC debuts, a lot of the time the UFC debut is a big thing and it can make a big difference to people mentally, and people find it difficult to get past that. But equally, you can get some undefeated fighters or whatever in these smaller organizations that come over and you don't quite know enough about them. They've not been on the top scene. It's like, there's some video footage, all that stuff, but they've just got something that you're not ready for, and you always got to be careful. I mean, I'll always back Ian. I'm a big fan of Ian's, but just because someone is making their UFC debut or you've not heard their name before, you can't write them off. You need to be on point, and I'm sure he will be. I think Ian seems sensible with that kind of stuff, and I'm sure he will be on point. And Ian Garry on point, as you say, striking's really good. We saw in his fight against Jack Grant that, you know, his defensive grappling is very good as well.
Really good.
So, yeah, and he can only, but again, talking about grapplers, Chandler, Gilbert Burns, Derek Brunson, he can only have improved exponentially.
If you're
those
rolling
areas.
Around with him, it's good stock, isn't it? You're experience you're going to get from that. He's brilliant. So
that ain't bad. And the other thing on that card as well for the hardcores, Font versus Yanez is a fight I cannot wait for. That'll be incredible.
We talk about Masvidal, like, you know, always brings fireworks. Rob fucking Font always brings fireworks. That guy's boxing's fucking ludicrous.
As does Adrian Yanez. I'm gonna say now, I think I'm going to go for Yanez over Font.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, I like a bit of Yanez. I think he's great. I'm a really big fan of Yanez. But yeah, so one of the other things to quickly talk about is since UFC 283 was Jamal Hill, Glover Teixeira. Since that fight, there's been a lot of talk about whether Jamal Hill has been disrespected in terms of, he's won the belt, he's the champ now, but a lot of people are still saying, well, yeah, but Yuri will beat him, or yeah, he's the champ, but if he was to fight Magomed, he'd get beat. Even people have said Vadim Nemkov over in Bellator, he could beat him. Like, there's a lot of people talking about that, and Jamal himself was on Ariel Helwani a little while ago, and he was saying kind of thing to a similar extent, kind of saying that he doesn't feel like he's been given the respect that he deserves after a performance like that. Do you agree with that? Do you feel like maybe there's people haven't given Jamal the shine he deserves, or do you think it's kind of fair? Because if we're all brutally honest, Jamal was supposed to fight Anthony Smith. Geary got injured. Then there's Glover. Then Yan fights Ankalaev for the vacant belt. That's a draw. And then they then go to Jamal. So he was like I don't know, like fourth, fifth, whatever it would be in the pecking order. You got Yuri, Glover, Magomed, Yan, then Jamal. So even the UFC, in you could say, have gone your fifth choice. Do you feel like Jamal's been
tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Disrespected a little bit? Have you seen any of that kind of conversation going on social media or anything like that?
I haven't, in all honesty. And maybe it was Brazilians that were throwing that, because obviously he beat their hero, he beat Glover. I think fair play to Jamal Hill. Like he's beaten everyone they've put in front of him, obviously apart from Paul Craig. But you know, that fight aside, like all he's done is been. From what I gather, he doesn't strike me as somebody that swerves fights. I think, you know, he sounds like if someone offers him a fight, he takes it. And he got given that opportunity, and he done a number on Glover. Like, absolutely dominated him. Absolutely, like, beat him up. And he's the champ. And he's the champ through saying yes to fights and winning them convincingly. He's got one loss on his record. Am I right in saying that? He's only got the Paul Craig loss, hasn't he?
I'd have to pull up the record, but you might be right, yeah.
I think he has. And I think, mate, give the guy his respect, because what's he meant to do? What else can he do? Someone offers you the shot at the belt, and you go in there and you put on the performance of your life and you absolutely destroy a legend and you get that belt. What's not to respect about that? You can look at Blachowicz and Ankalaev and go, okay, were they ranked above him when they fought? But that fight was a very uninteresting fight. I disagree with the way that the UFC worked it, the fact that they thought it was a boring fight, and before they'd even announced the winner, Jamal Hill was getting a phone call, and I think that was all a little bit weird. But none of it's Jamal Hill's fault. He's beaten everybody in front of him, and you can't do any more than that. And he happens to have the belt around his waist through that fucking amazing performance. So, yeah, I don't know why anyone would question it. Yes, there's other fights out there, but he'll probably end up having to have them fights. So what's he done wrong?
No, I don't think anyone said he's done anything wrong. I think he said that he feels disrespected. I think other people have kind of maybe suggested it's a bit of a paper championship and suggested that, you know, the light heavyweight division's in such a state that a guy that was ranked seventh is now the champ when there's plenty of people that would beat him. I think that is kind of harsh. I think Jamal showed huge improvements to his game.
You go down a weight level, Blake, and the guy that no one knew a year ago has got the belt around his waist.
All right. Well, here's a game. I don't think it's about disrespect. I think it's people having opinions based on what we have seen so far. Yeah. I think that's all it is. So I don't think it's disrespect. I think a lot of fighters talk about being disrespected, and I don't think it is that. I think it's a case of, given what we've seen so far, your skill set versus this person's skill set, I believe this person would win. So let's play a little game here. Jamal versus Jiří Procházka happens in 2 months' time. Who wins? Let's say Yuri's shoulder is back completely healthily. Who are you picking, Jamal or Jiří? I'm going to have to push you for an answer.
I really feel like I need to phone a friend.
This is supposed to be quick fire. Go on.
I could see it potentially being a 5-round war.
I think your life story, Stu. Who's winning?
All right. Who are you picking? Fuck's sake, Jiří.
Jiří. All right. They book Jamal versus Ankalaev for 2 months' time. Who's winning? Who's winning? Ankalaev. Who do you think's winning? Ankalaev. Who else was in the mix?
Just quickly, your two choices on the questions you just asked.
I would probably pick the same. That's why I don't think it's disrespectful. I think it's just like
Jamal Hill beats Jan Blachowicz.
I think Jamal Hill probably beats Jan Blachowicz. This is a good one. I think Jamal Hill beats Anthony Smith as well.
Yep.
Jamal Hill versus Alex Pereira.
Yeah, I knew that one was coming. I think Jamal Hill wins that. And the reason being, I think he's obviously he fights at that weight. I think he hits harder than Izzy. And we've seen when Izzy connects with Pereira, it's damage. He doesn't move as quickly as Izzy, obviously. But I think Jamal Hill wins that fight.
I would pick Pereira.
Mm.
So again, I hope no one thinks of being disrespectful in that kind of way. I think Pereira is a light heavyweight. He just does some crazy shit to cut down to middleweight. You've seen the size of him.
Mate, if you want to hate on his full name, former guest of the show, Jamal Hill, that's fine, mate.
There's no hate. It's just your opinion based on what you said. I've not seen Jamal implement offensive grappling. I thought he showed such amazing improvements in his defensive grappling against Glover. I was so impressed. I didn't think he had that level in his locker yet.
Yeah.
And he showed it. And I was really impressed by that. And I think a lot of people were surprised by the fact that Glover was on top of him a couple of times and he was able to get out of it or get rid of those takedowns and all that stuff. But I've not
He's
seen
gonna
him
come
use
and
offensive
avenge.
Grappling.
He's going to come and avenge Grandad Glover, isn't he?
But that's the storyline, and it's a fun storyline. So if Pereira beats Adesanya twice, he could defend the belt again, and I think it makes sense to keep defending the belt while you can. But I mean, if he beat Adesanya, I'm just very aware of all this crazy light going on my face over here. But if Pereira beats Adesanya twice, and then say he did fight Whittaker at the end of the year and beat him, I think you go straight up and just fight up there. And again, and if a striker is holding the belt like Jamal Hill, Jamal will be probably a heavier puncher than Izzy for sure.
Right, question.
Great question. But the technical ability of Pereira probably is better than Jamal. So it sounds bad. It sounds like you are being disrespectful, but I'm not. I just feel like that is the way it could go. So it's not about disrespect. I just feel like that's the reality of the world we're living in at the moment. But go on, what were you going to say?
Izzy wins the rematch.
Yep.
Okay. So Pereira, does he still go up? And if he does, what's waiting for him? Because if he loses, he's not going to go up and get the title shot straight away.
Probably not. No, I think he needs to be champion to get the belt straight away. Oh, it's so tricky because, again,
if he loses, do you think he'll still go up?
Yeah, I think so. Well, no, actually, no, they could do a trilogy, couldn't they? And there's loads of money in that. Mm. So I think if he loses, I think he sticks around and they do a trilogy at the end of the year. That's what you do. Because that's the best business. That's the best money. That's the best business. That's what I think you should do. And then, but say he lost twice to Izzy and then he goes up. The landscape of the light heavyweight division can change a lot. I don't know. But him fighting the strikers up at light heavyweight will be fun. Mm. Like, I think he'd beat a Jan Blachowicz.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'd have a really fun fight with Jiří Procházka or Johnny Walker or Jamal Hill. I think they'd be great fights. But then when you start putting him against someone that can grapple quite well, even if it's someone like an Anthony Smith or definitely a Magomed Ankalaev, people like that, that's when I start going, oh, I wonder if you'll struggle. Because I think middleweights that can grapple well could do well against Pereira. They just got to avoid that power. So, yeah. But I don't know. It's all fun. Fun chats.
Bobby Knuckles will be the champ at the end of the year.
Oh, God. It's just not... I mean, that and poor... Please go and listen to our predictions for who will be champions.
I mean, most of it's out the fucking window already, isn't it?
Well, some of it is, yeah. But we had a really fun chat about who we think will be champs by the end of the year. And we'd love to know your picks as well. That was a few weeks ago if you haven't heard it. But it's always a good fun listen, that, because because you can play along. Predict who you think is going to be champs, and you can remind me and Stu where we've fucked up, and we're not even out of January yet, and we've fucked up already on something. Now, look, I think we could possibly call it here. I don't think we've had any messages from our potential guest.
We haven't. I've just checked. I just want to shout out the Anthony Yard fight of the weekend in boxing. I know this is an MMA podcast, but anybody that loves a good scrap, go. If you've not watched that fight already, go and watch that fight. It's one of the best fights I've seen in years. I know that you also made a note here. Luke Rockhold is obviously he's been released by the UFC.
He's been released.
He's talking the pools,
He retired, didn't he? And as with most MMA retirements, they don't last very long. He retired, but then he wants to fight. But I think he's convinced the UFC to release him. I think he said he doesn't want to fight in the UFC. He wants to go and do his other thing. So whether that's boxing, he's mentioned Jake Paul's. He might be chasing that money, that bag of money with Jake Paul. I definitely don't want to see that because I'm pretty sure Jake Paul's got a left hook in him and Luke Rockhold can't defend left hooks.
Is it Jake Paul that's fighting
Tommy Fury? Yes. Right. Yeah. I don't know anything about Tommy Fury, so I don't know how that fight will go. My thing is, I felt like Luke Rockhold retired in kind of a fun way. He retired in that fight against Costa, which, albeit he lost, but he lost in a way where we were all actually sort of cheering for him. And I know it was a bit gross, but he was like doing that thing of like rubbing the blood onto Paulo Costa and telling him to F off and all this stuff. And both of them looked tired. Like, to be fair, I don't think Paulo Costa came out of it too well because you're fighting Luke Rockhold, who hadn't fought in ages and has had troubles in the latter end of his career. And you were struggling there with this new guy in front of you that was exhausted pretty quickly. But I just thought he went out in this really kind of like fun, kind of like tough way where he was like, I know I've not got it anymore, or I know my gas tank's just gone because I haven't fought for years, but I'm going to go down like kicking and screaming and say an FU and just go that. And I thought it was kind of a fun retirement. And Luke Rockhold's been one of these guys that for a long time fans haven't liked him very much. He's got this kind of like good looking, sort of arrogant kind of way about him. And I feel like that's one of the big reasons that Michael Bisping became the champ, because I don't think Luke Rockhold was taking him seriously at all. And I think a lot of fans didn't like that about him. And I kind of think this fight against the guy that fans also had problems with in Paulo Costa, he sort of went out a bit of a sort of a hero, not quite a hero, but sort of a hero. And I think it'd be a shame for him to come back. I don't see what he does in the PFL. Maybe there's fights from him in Bellator. I don't know. I have no interest in watching him box against anyone, really, especially Jake Paul. I just don't know what's really there for him. I kind of feel like retiring was the best thing for him. And that's obviously not continued. So yeah, we'll have to see.
Yeah, I'm not interested in watching him fight in anything whatsoever. I think I didn't enjoy the Costa fight much. I thought it was quite funny. I'm one of them people that I didn't particularly like him. His question mark kick is the best fucking kick in the business.
Oh my God,
by
isn't it amazing?
Mile.
If you haven't seen Luke Rockhold on, I'm assuming it's his Instagram or whatever, chucking question mark kicks at this dummy. Oh my God, it's so scary and so technically beautiful. It is amazing. And he was always great on the ground as well. Like, he had great kind of top game, like good grappling from top position and good ground and pound and stuff. He was a great fighter. I think he probably should have done more with his run than he did. Yeah. But obviously, I don't think he took Bisping seriously, and that's what led to problems there.
Yeah, I just never got that excited watching him fight. Obviously, he was the champ, and you got to respect him for that. But yeah, that fight against Costa, I didn't think was anything particularly special. And I think when he retired, I was like, that makes sense. Like, you know, what's left for you to do? I mean, it's easy for any former UFC fighter to go, Jake Paul, give me Jake Paul, give me Logan Paul, because it's money. It is money, and I understand these people are prize fighters, so of course they're going to they're going to put their neck on the line to make money. And absolutely, I'm not questioning that. Would I watch it? Nah, just not interested. Not interested. If he went to PFL, if he went to Bellator, would I be super excited to see his name on a fight card? Not especially. Because I don't think he beats the top fives in a lot of them organisations at the moment. You know, certainly Bellator. Not massively interested in seeing Luke Rockhold fight, but that's just me.
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely fair enough. And I think we're done. Hopefully we'll be coming to you with a nice little interview with one of our favourite fighters in a couple of days. We'll find out what's gone on there. But I'm sure they've got a very valid reason for not being
absolutely,
there.
Absolutely. And we've mentioned some fighters on today's show. We've mentioned Ian Garry. We've mentioned Paddy the Baddy Pimlet. We've mentioned Jamal Hill. These have all been guests on the podcast, among so many others. You know, legends like Dan Hardy. You just mentioned Michael Bisping. We had a wonderful chat with Michael Bisping. Yep. The guy that's generally in the octagon with most of these guys is Mark Goddard. And we had a wonderful chat with Mark, a real peek behind the curtain of like what happens when you're the third guy in the cage. We've had absolute world champions. We've mentioned Volk on this episode. We had a great chat with Alexander Volkanovski. Who else we had on, Blake?
Tyron Woodley, Molly McCann, Nathaniel Wood, Lerone Murphy, Jai Herbert, guys in Cage Warriors like Paul Hughes, Jordan Buchenik, Matt Bonner,
the Hardwick brothers,
George Hardwick, obviously the lightweight champ at the moment over in Cage Warriors. So yeah,
just
we've
announced
had,
he's got his defense coming up. There's a defense just been announced for George.
And, there you go.
Love to see him get that and see him at some point in the UFC. It'd be amazing to see George.
Also, great. Ricky Simone, Corey Sandhagen, some ranked bantamweights there. Yeah, we've had them all on. Derek Brunson. We've had loads and loads of top fighters on this show. And hopefully we'll get a few more on for you very soon. But hopefully
one of
you're
the
enjoying
things you can
the
also
Zeps
do
one,
as well. We talk about this not as much as we should, but you can watch all of these shows. If you're listening to your podcast, but you actually, for some reason, want to see our daft faces, if you prefer to watch your podcast, you can go and watch us, chat. We've got a YouTube channel. Just search MMA Fan Podcast and subscribe over there, and you can watch these natters. Other than that, give us a little like, love, share on the socials. We're on all the usual platforms. We're not on TikTok yet, are we? Because we're not down with the kids, are we?
We tried to get onto TikTok, and we put up one of the videos up on like Instagram and all this other stuff. And it said that we violated their, I don't know, the code of conduct or something. And I'm like, we put that stuff on Instagram, on Twitter.
I know.
We're not saying anything bad or offensive, or I don't really understand. I think it was literally just like, who should Jamal or someone fight next? And, and for some reason,
didn't help that we had our shirts off.
That's true. So go and check that. Yeah, we did. Yeah, we had our shirts off.
Not a reason to go over to YouTube.
Yeah. Stu was lathering jam all over himself. You know, it was...
You can get more of that kind of stuff on my OnlyFans, by the way. Right, we're done. This is
we're
going
done
weird.
On that note.
We'll be back next time. See you soon.
Bye, guys.